the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 14th. It's Flag Day.
Damien,
we should have worn our red, white, and blue.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high-flying flag.
That was beautiful. If you weren't awake, you are now. Hopefully you didn't turn us off. But today's Flag Day. It's also the feast of St. Albert Chmielewski.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Big Al is what I like to call
Big Al,
him.
There
just
you
like
go.
Big Al Migliorato.
There you go. Well, let's start.
You're good at saying those unusual last names.
Practiced.
Oh, okay.
So I hope it's right. That's how Franciscan Media says it. So let's hope it's right. Let's start with prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, strength of those who hope in you, graciously hear our pleas. And since without you mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commands we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Albert, pray for us. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a great show for you this morning. We're going to start off with our gospel, and Josie Duke, our friend, is joining us. Josie is a theologian and teacher at St. George Catholic School in Baton Rouge, and she will share her reflection of today's gospel. Today's the gospel about being perfect. I'm really going to try and listen
wow.
to that one.
Ooh, okay.
That's some strong orders.
You bet.
So we're also going to hear from Richard Meek. Richard is the editor of the Catholic Commentator. That's the Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He'll tell us what's in this week's issue. Our friend Matt Estrad, author of Peace with Dementia Rosary, will join us to talk about Pope Francis and the elderly. And we have all friends today. Father Sergio Serrano, director of the Hispanic Apostolate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, joins us to talk about Damien's main guy, St. Anthony of Padua.
There you go.
Great show.
What a beautiful sunrise this morning. I hope everyone, or most of y'all at least, got to see it. It was yellow, orange, like a big dot in the sky as it was coming over the horizon. Right. Couldn't take my eyes off of it. But I had to in order to get here.
I was going to say, you made it.
Well, we're going to have plenty of sunshine today along with humidity, pretty much like we had yesterday. Guess what? It's going to be the same for tomorrow as well. Only a very slight chance of showers popping up, maybe in the afternoon, but they won't last long. As far as temperatures go, the highest and hottest spot right now is in Mississippi, Bay St. Louis, 84 degrees. Who knows? They may top above 95 by as far as heat index goes. Baton Rouge, it's 80. In New Orleans, it's 82. Across the lake in Mandeville, it's 79. And in home at Thibodaux, our friends in the Bayou, they are currently experiencing 78 degrees temperatures this morning. So that's your temperature and forecast. Pretty much the same as we've been having until Thursday. Then we get the rains and cool things down.
You know, I went to the grocery store yesterday afternoon. When I got in the car, it said 103 degrees. I don't know. That might have just been the blacktop in the parking lot.
When that humidity is as high as it is with the heat, it's suffocating.
Yes, it is.
It really is. It could take your breath away. So be careful when you get outdoors. I pray for those folks who do yard work and attic work and, you know, those air conditioning and guys and gals. I mean, it's just tough work.
That's
so.
Right.
God bless you and keep that up, because we appreciate the coolness and we appreciate a good-looking lawn, too.
That's right.
All right, folks, don't go too far. A gospel reflection along with Miss Josie Duke coming your way. It's 5 after the hour on this Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. Josie Duke, good morning. Josie is a theologian and teacher at St. George Catholic School in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm a little stumped on the be perfect. I'm far, far, far from that.
Well, I tell you, this is one of those amazing gospel passages that is intellectually we know, but emotionally is very difficult for us to grasp with. So we actually have two things that we have to deal with. First is love your enemies,
right,
and then be perfect. It's like, wait, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. Yes means what? Yes and no means no. What is all this?
Okay, well, let's break this down a little bit. At the very beginning, now this is Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. So this, of course, is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had just given us the Beatitudes, and now he continues his lesson.
Yeah.
And this is where this passage comes from. So in the very beginning, he says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" And, you know, and we gloss over this line. It's like, wait, mm-hmm. what? People, mm-hmm. when did we hear this? Well, this actually comes from Leviticus 19, verse 18, in which God instructs the people to take no revenge and cherish no grudge against your own people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord. Okay?
Right.
Unfortunately, and that sounds wonderful. That is a command of God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Unfortunately, there were some Jews in the ancient Jewish community who held a very narrow interpretation of the word neighbor, restricting it only to one's fellow Israelite.
Oh.
So when they heard the word neighbor, they're thinking, well, yes, I have to be kind to my fellow Jew, but everybody else is fair game. And that's not, of course, what God intended. And we see this in Luke chapter 10 in the parable of the Good Samaritan, because Jesus is asked the question, and who is my neighbor?
Mm.
Because they're confused, because Jesus is actually broadening the category of neighbor now. And they're like, but wait, who do I have to love now? So, you know, they're being challenged in Jesus's day, and we're being challenged now, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2,000 years, it doesn't seem like much has changed, right? So he continues, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Okay? Jesus is not just talking about showing mercy to your fellow Israelite. He's talking about showing mercy not just to the Gentiles, who Israel actually believed were their enemies, because, again, in ancient Israel, the Gentiles were pagan peoples of pagan lands, and if you were against God, you were therefore against Israel. So they were all looked upon as enemies. So Jesus is expanding the definition of neighbor by saying, it's not just your fellow Jew, and it's not just the Gentiles, it also includes the Romans, the ones who are putting you to death, the ones who are oppressing you. It includes even them. So you can imagine how difficult that was to take.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And right. And we hear these words today and we're like, no, I can't do that. Well, you have to. This is what we have to do, right? So if we want to, if we are devoted to the divine mercy like so many of us are,
mm-hmm.
if we say we love God like so many of us do, this is part of the package. So, you know, we get to the line, Alicia, that you referred to, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And at that point, a lot of us might be tempted to say, okay, I'm done.
Right.
I can't do this.
Right.
Right? I'm not you, Lord. I'm not God. I can't do this. Well, think about it for a second. Jesus is not insisting on a standard which is impossible for us to reach, because wouldn't that be cruel?
Mm-hmm.
Our God is not cruel. He wouldn't tell us, do this, when he knows it's impossible for us to do. So what he wants us to do is to be an imitation of him. And what is that? To be kind and merciful to everyone, especially to those who hate us, to those who wish us ill, right? So just as in Leviticus 19, Israel was called to imitate God by being holy as I am holy, right? So Jesus is calling the church to imitate God's perfect compassion. He shows mercy to the good and the evil alike, right? And that blows our minds. Yes. It's like, wait, why are you showing mercy to those people? Right? Why don't they get what's coming to them? And this is what we want. Sometimes in our quest for justice, and justice is a good thing, sometimes in our quest for justice, we get justice and, I hate to say it, but we get justice and revenge.
A little twisted, right?
And we want them to get their comeuppance. Well, God is a God of justice, absolutely. And he's giving them plenty of time. He's giving us plenty of time to repent and come back to him. This is the kindness and compassion and mercy that he wants us to show to everybody. Okay? So in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, when Jesus gives us the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is what he wants us to do. Be like me. Be kind and merciful and loving. So in Luke chapter 10, when we get the parable of the Good Samaritan, right, we have the Jewish man who has been beaten almost to death by robbers. Who is it who helps him? It's the Samaritan. Right. It is the avowed enemy of Israel. They hate each other, and they've hated each other for millennia. So Jesus takes the parable and turns it around and turns it over on its head and says, no, you don't understand. The Samaritan is the one you need to look to. He's the one who's doing it right. And so when Jesus asked the people who are hearing this parable, you know, who is it who showed mercy? Who is it who did the right? You know, they can't even say the Samaritan.
Right.
They say the one who showed him mercy. They can't even bring themselves to say, the Samaritan, because the Samaritan was their enemy, right? So the two words we have to focus on as Christians are hope. And joy.
Hope and joy. Thank you, Josie Duke. Thanks so much. Josie is a teacher at St. George Catholic School in Baton Rouge. We'll be back after the break and find out what's in this week's Catholic Commentator in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It's 15 minutes past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 14th. Today we celebrate St. Albert Chmielowski. Today's saint chose to leave the world of art, literature, and theater in order to serve Christ. In doing so, he became a model and hero to many, including a young Polish priest who would later become a pope. Albert was born into a wealthy Polish family in 1845. During the 1864 revolt against Tsar Alexander III, he suffered severe wounds that required the amputation of his left leg. After studying painting in Warsaw, Munich, and Paris, he returned home and became a secular Franciscan. In 1888, he founded the Brothers of the Third Order of St. Francis, Servants to the Poor. Albert and his brothers worked primarily with the homeless, depending completely on alms while serving the needy regardless of age, religion, or politics. Later, a community of Albertine sisters also was established. Albert died in 1916. In 1989, Pope John Paul II canonized Brother Albert, calling him a real spiritual support and example in his own life. As a young priest, Carol Wojtyła had written a play about Brother Albert's life entitled The Brother of Our God. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Happy Flag Day. Good morning. It's 18 minutes past the hour. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. We are happy you are with us this morning on Wake Up. We are joined this segment by our friend Richard Meek. Richard is the editor of the Catholic Commentator, the Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Hope everyone is doing well.
We are. We hope the same with you and your crew there at the Catholic Commentator. So this is a packed edition of the Catholic Commentator. Let's start off with the Holy Land Pilgrimage. I've heard of a few groups in the Diocese of Baton Rouge going and how it's bonded parishioners.
Yes, it really has. And I think that was an unexpected really benefit to come out of this, because there's some mostly parishioners from St. George, a couple other parishioners maybe from the other churches, but they really didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And then as they got to know each other on a tour, on a pilgrimage, they really bonded in a way that they had not expected. So, of course, I've never been to the Holy Land, but everything I hear is how inspirational it is,
yes.
How it really teaches you your Catholic faith, and how you look at the gospel differently. Okay, that's mm-hmm. fine. But what happened when they came back, now they see each other at Mass. They get together after Mass. They go to lunch. They go hunting together. They may socialize together. And they had a little reunion. And you could really see that camaraderie and that unity that had developed. And I like to say that they just, you know, a bunch of individual pilgrims as they left. And when they landed, they were a spiritual community. And I think that's awesome. And I'm not sure that's something that they expected.
Right.
And I mean, they didn't. You know, but it's certainly a benefit to come out of it, and you can tell how much fun and how close they drew to each other.
Wow.
It was a fun story just hanging out with them.
That's great. My understanding from friends who have been to the Holy Land that it is life-changing, and that you will not hear the gospel, you know, you won't hear the gospel the same after you have actually walked where Jesus walked. So I could see that it would be a wonderful opportunity for people to bond that way. That's so great. I can't wait to read that one.
Yeah, that's what the lady was saying, that the first Mass, she went to a daily Mass, and as soon as she walked out of church, she called the husband and said, "Hey, this is what the gospel was. This is where we were walking. We saw this." And I just can't imagine that feeling.
Isn't that amazing? Wow, that's wonderful.
Right.
Well, so this is pretty exciting, too. The Citizen of the Year Award is a parishioner at St. Isidore.
Yes, and she's retired, and she's, one of the things she started doing was helping out at the food bank, at the St. Isidore Food Pantry in 2015. And one of the things she talked about, and you do hear this a lot, she talked about the sweet reward of serving people.
Oh.
And she said that one of the things that they may not have much, but what they do have is a lot of love, and that they will tell you that they love you, and what a wonderful service that you are providing to them. And so one of the things, and I've talked to people, you know, I think that's one of the things volunteering in a food bank, St. Vincent mm-hmm. de Paul or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you constantly hear is the volunteers receive so much more than what they give back.
Absolutely.
Which is an amazing statement, because
yes.
you're providing food, you're providing the basic essentials of life for the needy, yet they getting more than the people they're serving.
Oh, wow.
And so one of the things, you know, some of the people, they might feel a little bit hesitant. I'm talking about the needy,
mm-hmm.
a little hesitant. Sometimes they may even be a little bit ashamed, you know, which is a natural feeling. And one of the things you talked about is we make them feel comfortable. We're glad you're here.
Yes, yes. Wow,
so that's quite an honor.
It is. That's wonderful. Well, you also have a story, happens to be about my pastor who competed in an Ironman race, Father Michael Alello.
Oh, he's incredible. I tell you. What is it? Like 10, 12 years ago, he started running to get healthy, and he
yes.
started competing in marathons.
Mm-hmm.
And then naturally went, okay, so went from there to, I want to do an Ironman. Yeah, okay, sure.
Right.
That's a natural progression, right? Yeah. But one of the things that helped him was during a pandemic, because he was able to start swimming. Things were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And once he had the swimming part down, because he was never a swimmer, oh, I can do this. And so it took him a little more than 16 hours. And I even asked him, I said, you know, why would a sane individual, let's go do 16 hours of pure physical activity? But he loved it. And he said that the training was incredible. On Saturdays, he would do like a 100-mile bike ride, get back to his, to the rectory, shower, and go straight to the confessional. So, yeah, that's it. But one of the things from the spiritual part about it, he said it took a commitment to to do this. And he says, he tells people, he hears people saying that they're unable to develop a relationship with the Lord or have a prayer life. And he said, if I can commit to working out, I can commit to prayer. It's all about disciplined enough to commit to a schedule. And I like the way he tied all of that in.
Yes.
That's incredible, because if you look at each of those individual events on their own, it's incredible. And to do that all, you know, in one day.
Right. Well, he did, as parishioners, he did invite us to pray for him. He said he was going to need a lot of prayers. And he said he had plenty of hours to pray for all of us. And that's what he would do as he biked and ran and swam.
Oh, yeah.
And what an amazing, amazing experience. So,
well, I think your prayers worked, because he said he could actually feel that during the race. He says, I knew I had all of these people praying for me, and that really made a difference. So y'all did good.
Good. Phew, I'm so glad. He did say there was one part when people can read about it, but when the wind was, he had a headwind on the bike, and he thought about giving up, but he kept on going.
Yeah, 20 miles into a Texas headwind under a Texas sun. What can go wrong there?
Right. It's a perfect way to ride your bike, right? Oh, goodness.
So,
Richard, you have an article. Bishop Duca went to visit inmates at the Louisiana Correctional Institute for Women. Tell us about his visit.
Yes, it had been, because of COVID, of course, it had been 2 years since he had gone. And so he went there and very well received. He does well with the prisoners. They like to see him there. One of the inmates said that what she really appreciated was the fact that he reached out to them and his presence let the inmates know that God has not forgotten them. Because a lot of times, of course, when you're in prison, you can feel that way.
Yes.
And so here he is out, and he's been coming out in the wilderness, in the desert, to reach out for them. And one lady said she's not Catholic, but she has been brought into the fold to experience what God is doing. And you really see that when you go on these prison visits. And he talked about forgiveness. And now these ladies, I mean, they need that. They appreciate that.
Yes.
And it's really, it can be an emotional experience that's on some of these visits. And he's great. He does a great job with it.
Yes, he's so personable. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, we also, in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Dr. Melanie Palmisano is moving on from her position as a superintendent of Catholic education. So you have an article where she's reflecting on her career in Catholic education. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Dr. Mel has become an icon of Catholic education in the diocese. She's been here 13 years, and you cannot minimize what she's done. She's done an amazing job. And one of the things Peg's been able to do, is tear down a lot of the walls that existed between the 13 schools. And so one of the things she did almost immediately, the first year in, she developed before school started in the summer, they would get together for a conference. It started out on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, now they do it in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. But if all the principals come together, teachers, principals, to share ideas and best practices. And what that did was really developed and cohesed the unit as one. And so now, instead of 30 separate, or whatever it is, schools, they act as one. And they really lean on each other. They come together. And now she feels like that at this time, she said she's serving 30 schools. Now she thinks she can really reach out as a consultant and serve a lot more than that throughout the country.
Wow.
And, her commitment to Catholic education is unparalleled. And it's really inspiring to see from a distance. And the schools and the test scores in the 13 years that she has been here, they've dramatically improved. I mean, it's very tangible when you look at her accomplishments.
Wow. And she is with us through the month of June, or is it June 15th?
Yes. No, she's June 30th is her last day. She's closing in on it. And she's going to be missed. But I'll tell you, they hired Dr. Patty Davis.
Yeah.
Who, boy, I think she's just going to pick up right where, Dr. Mel leaves off, because Dr. Davis is very good as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Richard Meek, editor of the Catholic Commentator, the Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Richard, tell our listeners where they can pick up a copy of the Commentator.
Yeah, in the back of churches, of course, and then more than 100 retail outlets throughout the diocese, and you can go to news.diobr to read it online.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank
we'll look
you.
Forward to picking up a copy.
Y'all have a great day. Thanks.
You too, Richard. That is the Catholic Commentator, and you don't have to be in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. You can check it out at news.diobr.org. Hey, stick around. Matt Estrada joins us. He's the author of Peace with Dementia Rosary, and he's talking about Pope Francis and the elderly. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Abortion protesters sought to deny Supreme Court justices and staffers civil access to the court Monday. The High Court did not release any ruling on the Dobbs v. Jackson case that is expected to overturn Roe v. Wade. Governor Ron DeSantis is criticizing well over 50 cases of pro-abortion violence and those who enable such actions. He says trying to change the outcomes that they don't like is totally antithetical to the rule of law. DeSantis referred to frequent legacy media silence on the attempted murder of a Supreme Court justice and a string of firebombings at highly effective pro-life medical clinics. This is Life News Radio.
Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org.
In other headlines, another Catholic bishop is addressing why public officials cannot support abortion and remain Catholic. A UN human rights chief is denying that her resignation has anything to do with her failure to challenge eugenic human rights abuses in China. And statistical researcher Michael New with the Charlotte Lozier Institute is analyzing polls showing recent growth in pro-abortion sentiment. Dr. New says the predictable trend largely relates to increased fervor among those whose votes are already set on abortion-friendly candidates. He offers more at lifenews.com. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 1:35 on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Our next guest is Matt Estrada, author of Peace with Dementia Rosary. And today he joins us for his monthly update, but more specifically, he's going to be talking about Pope Francis and the elderly. Good morning, Matt. Oh, we're waiting to get Matt on the line with us. But you guys, there's so much talk about Pope Francis. And Matt, are you with us?
We see him. We just can't hear him.
Let's see if his mic's working.
Oh, nope. Okay.
Okay, we'll continue to get Matt on the line. But we've been getting a lot of updates on Pope Francis. His knee is giving him a lot of pain. He's been canceling a lot of masses that are very important. So we need to continue to pray for healing. And Matt's going to dive deeper into this topic as soon as we get him on the line for that. So, but if you missed any of what Alicia said with an interview with Richard Meek, you can go to news.diobr.org to find out more information. So,
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Pope is up in age, right?
Yeah.
And injuries are going to happen, and they usually creep up on you.
Yes.
What hasn't yet, at least in his case, is his mind is still strong.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge you face as you get older, you know.
Yeah.
And there are some people, you know, that should step down who are leaders and because of their mental state. But some don't because nobody tells them they should, you know, or right. they don't address the problem. And that's where Matt comes in his book. And I can say that from personal experience as well. You know, my dad had Alzheimer's. And because of that, you don't want to face the facts initially. You're in, as they call, denial.
Yeah.
But once you overcome that denial hump and you look at the facts, you have to address them and deal with it. Otherwise, you're doing the person a disservice.
You're yes. right. Well, yeah. and Matt has helped my family personally so much navigating my grandmother through dementia, mm-hmm. through Alzheimer's. Unfortunately, well, I guess not for her. She did pass away, you know, yes. in her sleep a right. few months ago. So she's now at peace and, mm-hmm. you know, battling yes. this for years and years and years, but seeing my mom basically as a primary caregiver
yeah. mm-hmm.
and reading through Peace with Dementia Rosary, I saw her copy and it is so tethered. She kept reading it over and over and over again. So it. Matt, I say it all the time. Thank you for all that you have done with our family with Peace with Dementia Rosary.
Thank you, Gabby. It's a blessing that it was able to, you know, be a service to her. So thank you for mentioning that.
Absolutely. So let's dive deeper into your topic today. You're going to talk about Pope Francis and the elderly and dementia caregiver support.
Yeah. So back on February 23rd of this year, Pope Francis started the topic of catechesis on old age for his weekly general audience in Rome. And he's continued that for 13 weeks. We'll see if tomorrow is the 14th installment. The last one was last week, last Wednesday. And so through that, he has expounded upon the beauty and the dignity of old age, of those who are older or getting older, and really the value of them, along with a warning to us, really, about how we should all be treating the elderly with dignity.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I personally didn't really understand this until we had family members who got much older who needed care. We've experienced it on my husband's side, him going and taking care of his grandmother and grandfather at the hospital at the same time when no other family member was there. And hoping and praying that whoever was at the facility was taking good care mm-hmm. of your loved one when you went back home and took, you know, slept, yes. you know, and came back mm-hmm. the next morning. So kind of talk about that. And if you're navigating that for the first time and how we can continue to maybe tie in Peace with Dementia Rosary with that as well.
Yeah. So many, many people think that when their loved one, their older loved one enters a care community like a nursing home or skilled nursing or assisted living, memory care, or these are all, you know, part of this continuum of care communities, that, you know, the burden is off of them. And in some ways it is physically, but, you know, we're still called to be advocates. We're still called to visit them, bring joy to them, because now here they are, you know, pretty much, you know, in this location and in this facility or care community, mm-hmm. For the foreseeable future. It really calls on us as family members and friends to continue to visit, as uncomfortable as it is. I mean, no one wants to be in there, much less, you know, want to visit. So it really is an act of charity to go visit them and to pray with them and to bring pictures and to bring other people to bring joy to them in this time. It, you know, it's going to be very difficult for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about also the dementia caregiver support group that's restarting in September. Tell us about that and how those who are listening can participate.
Yeah, so y'all know that I'm on the North Shore. I'm in Covington, Mandeville area, and we are restarting a dementia caregiver support group that we had prior to COVID. We had it for, I want to say, 9 months, and then COVID hit.
Wow.
And we've tried online versions, and that hasn't worked, but we're very happy that Father John is having us back in on the evenings of the second Wednesday of each month, starting in September. People can find out, if they want to find out more information, they can just contact me or contact Mary Queen of Peace. We'll get it in the bulletin. We'll be promoting it in the deanery. But really, those who are even not in the area are welcome to attend. So so that's in Mandeville at Mary Queen of Peace, second Wednesday of the month, starting in September.
Can you kind of give us the layout of how that went? I mean, it was only a few months before COVID that you actually did do this in person, which mm-hmm. is so good to hear that you're starting up again in person. So what is kind of the format of this support group? I think the one thing is actually attending it for the first time and having the courage to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It does take courage to go to a support group, to go with humility that you might need some help, you might need some support and be with some fellow caregivers. So that's one thing. I do appreciate that it takes courage to do that. And so it's part education, it's part fellowship. What makes this different than other caregiver support groups that I facilitate is that we have a component of prayer, and we can very freely talk about our Catholic faith and explore that. And much like the ministry does, look at dementia and old age through the Catholic lens, we'll certainly be able to do that with no need for people to feel like, am I being too religious, in this, facility, whereas someone might feel uncomfortable talking about their faith. Although that's always, people are always welcome to do that in my groups that are not religious. People really can, explore questions, difficult questions, and talk about how the Holy Spirit and the saints and how redemptive suffering, all these things that are people usually don't want to bring up or ask questions mm-hmm. about in a different setting.
Yeah. Matt, we have about a minute and a half left. Tell us or give us an update on the Sacred Art Project with Norman Fauché.
Yeah, so it's very, very exciting time. So he's done the preparatory work. I think I mentioned last time, now he's beginning the oil painting, or actually began last week. So we're getting close to at least that final stage. And he's taking some video of that. So I feel like we're going to have some neat behind the scenes footage of what will be a very beautiful piece of artwork that will, hopefully inspire people, not just here in our community, in our archdiocese, but around the world.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Matt Estrade with Peace with Dementia Rosie, where can we go to? I want to talk about your website with 45 seconds left. There's so much information on your website, your book, podcasts, newsletters, everything like that. Where can they go and what else can they find on there?
Yeah, so if you go to dementiarosary.com, you'll see blog articles, you'll see audio podcasts, which you can also get on the major podcast platforms. You'll see videos that are hosted on YouTube, but you can go straight to the website for all of those things. They're just, you also find the Facebook page where I do a daily Dementia Rosary daily morning prayer, which I'll do right after this, or at 8 o'clock rather. And you just find a whole bunch of other stuff, ways to connect. You can learn more about supporting us on Patreon. You can learn about the Sacred Art Project as well. So lots of stuff at DementiaRosary.com.
Awesome. Matt Estrade, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. God bless.
Absolutely. Father Sergio Serrano with the Hispanic Apostolate joins us when we come back from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Hola, everyone. It is 12 minutes before the hour, and it's June 14th, Flag Day. Fly that flag out there. And with us right now, Father Sergio Serrano, director of the Archdiocese of New Orleans Hispanic Apostolate. He's here to talk about one of my favorite saints, Saint Anthony of Padua. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Damien. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, and I just feel very patriotic. I've been singing in between breaks. they're already getting tired of me, Father, but Flag Day still means something to
That's
me.
Right.
How about
yeah.
you?
Oh, yes, indeed. Of course. It's a very important day for everybody, and it's something that unites us all.
Amen yeah, to that. Right. I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, we're here to talk about St. Anthony of Padua. A lot of people think he's Italian, but he's not.
No.
Let's start with that.
Well, this is a funny story. I am a Dominican talking about a Franciscan.
Yeah, that's true. But hey, he liked the Dominicans too.
Oh, he did. He did. He was born in 1195, And he died very early, 35 years old, in 1221. And he was born in Lisbon, Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a son of a very wealthy family. And when he was around 15 years old, he told them that he didn't want to be in business. He wanted to go to Santa Cruz in Coimbra. And his family was very disappointed. They were very disappointed because they wanted him to be part of the government, be part of something really important. And this young fellow, he decided to go and start training himself with Augustinians. And it was an amazing experience because everybody had different expectations for him.
Yeah.
And he has to give up all what the family have offered to him. He says, no, I don't want any of those things. And he decided to study theology. And he went on and on with this. And he was really well trained by the same master of the Abbey. He was there, and they discovered that this guy was very sharp, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something good for us to consider. You know, when we think about inviting somebody to the priesthood, we need to look for people who look like this guy, very mm-hmm. smart people, huh?
Yeah.
You well, think so?
That doesn't hurt. And the interesting thing was he started out studying under the religious order of St. Augustine, and then...
Yeah.
And that's a learning process too. And then all of a sudden, he becomes associated with the friars of the Franciscans, and boom, his life changes. We have to be open to change in our lives, just like Saint Anthony.
Yeah, and you know, in 1222, he noticed that that the Sonio guys came into town and they were killed. That called his attention. He started asking who were those people, and they were Franciscans. It's how he gets attracted to the Franciscans. And then he decided to move from Augustinians to Franciscans. I am ashamed he didn't move into the Dominicans, but anyway, we'll respect that decision. So his name was Fernando, no?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
It's funny because Fernando is a very Latino name, you know, and mm-hmm. he was Fernando Martin because his father was also Martin de Alfonso, who was a knife, a Portuguese knife, and when he met the Franciscans, he decided to change his name. You know, when we become members of a religious order, it's something that is given to us, the possibility to change our name for a saint's name. You know, like when I became Dominican, they asked me, would you like to change your name for a religious name? And I decided not to because I have two religious names, but mm-hmm. it was something different with him. He decided to be called Anthony, and he was using that name, and it's how he got engaged in going to Morocco to preach.
Yeah.
But when he goes to Morocco, he gets very sick, which is really... really sad, you know, and the community invite him to go back to Italy. It's why some people get confused because he was in Sicily for a long time
mm-hmm.
and he was in Tuscany, and then he was assigned to other places, including going to Rome, you know. It's a very an amazing experience that he
had. And St. Francis was so impressed with him that, you know, he basically allowed St. Anthony to become the first teacher of the Franciscan orders. He because he was intelligent, as you said in your opening comments.
Yeah, well...
And he was a good speaker, too. He was a good people. Even the fish, they say, listened to St. Anthony.
Well, that was funny because the story, there are different versions, you know. He went to preach to heretics, and they didn't want to listen to him. So he just started preaching, you know, like to the creation, something like the Pope invited us to do in Laudato Si and all that, you know, the redemption of the creation. And they said that even the fish came out to listen to what he had to say, but it was more for the people who were there to believe in what he was preaching. And that called people's attention, and everybody started just listening to what he had to say, because it's, as you say, he had a strong and wonderful voice, and people were impressed by him. And we have all the stories about it, like when he was with the cross, and even a donkey who was starving, when he saw him with a cross and talking about God, donkey went and kneeled in front of him. And the power of his preaching was spectacular because even nature came mm-hmm. to listen to what he had to say.
Right. But Father, we got about a minute to go, so I want to touch on the many miracles. In particular, he is associated with lost items and also praying for lost souls. And what a great story, the reason that it's associated with him.
Yes. Well, he used to have a book of Psalms,
mm-hmm.
and somebody stole it from him. We won't be worried about books today because we can get them even digital, but at that time, they were unique. You know?
Right. So everything was handwritten. That's correct.
Right. Yeah. And very expensive. It was difficult to have one. So he started praying and praying. Next day, the thief came back and gave him the book. is how he became the patron of lost and found things. You need to find something, pray to St. Anthony.
Yeah.
Or come to St. Anthony in 4640 Canale Street. And we have a relic of him here in St. Anthony of Padua in New Orleans.
Yes, in Canal Street, right?
Yes, 4640 Canale Street.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful mass yesterday because yesterday was his feast day.
Exactly. Yesterday was his feast day. And so, Father, would you mind leaving us with a priestly blessing, especially in honor of my favorite saint, St. Anthony?
Oh, wow. He's your favorite. Okay, here we go. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Anthony of Padua, whom you call to be a herald of the good news. We ask you through his intercession to help those who are lost by the faith to come back to the church, to you, and those who are looking for something that is lost in their lives that they can get it back if this is your will. And we bless you all who are listening to this program with the blessing of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. St. Anthony, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Okay, Father Sergio Serrano, thank you so much for being with us on Wake Up this morning.
God bless.
God bless you. He is director of the Archdiocese of New Orleans Hispanic Apostolate. And what a great man. And you can tell he's passionate.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he's passionate about just being a priest. You can tell.
If you meet him in person, he's just on fire. He loves his faith. He loves exactly what he does in the Archdiocese. So he's actually going to be with us during drive time. So we'll be having him back on in just a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Face to face.
That's right.
Face to face. That's right.
We'll figure that
out. Awesome. Okay. Well, wow. What a great show today. But stick around. So we'll be back here tomorrow morning with Johnny Aber. He'll give us his gospel reflection. Josie Duke joins us. She has a full segment, and she's going to talk about just some wonderful things. Yeah. And Deacon Martin Gutierrez with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans will update us on what they're up to for the month of June. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Fly.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.